Now, would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Mark in chapter 16, please. The Gospel according to Mark and chapter 16. Reading, please, from verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word, with signs following. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. And reading from verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers, servants, by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Paul, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his holy and his precious word. Now, you will notice, as we have been reading together in Mark chapter 16, that the apostles went forth and they preached everywhere. But we notice the secret of their blessing, that the Lord was working with them and confirming the word. And I'm sure whether it's in Costa Rica or the other mission fields, or whether it's in the vast mission field of the Pacific Coast here or elsewhere on the continent, in Costa Rica or the other mission fields, or whether it's in the vast mission field of the Pacific Coast here or elsewhere on the continent, the great desire of our hearts would be that the Lord would work with us, confirming the word. Now, I want to speak a little this afternoon on one of the secrets of the Lord working with us. Now, the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 11 and verse 36, speaking of God, the Lord, says that of him and by him and to him are all things. And of course that means that the Lord never at any time works out of harmony with himself. Never works out of harmony with that which he is the source. We remember that the Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hands. So that God always works through the Lord Jesus. He's the accomplisher of all things. And He works all things according to the counsel of His own will. So if the Lord works, He always works in harmony with Himself. We often have to confess that with many of our labors, much of our labors, there seems to be a lot of energy and a lot of work, and we do not see to see the hand of the Lord working with us. Well, we might question ourselves as well. Well, the Lord says again in John chapter 12 and verse 26, "If any man will serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be." So that if the Lord Jesus is the accomplisher of all, then we need to be where He is. And for that, we need to learn to follow Him. Now, for that reason, I have read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, "So then, we are laborers together with God." And so I would suggest to you that one of the great secrets of the Lord working with us is simply our working with the Lord. Our working with God. You remember the Lord Jesus when He was here as the perfect servant of Jehovah. When He came to Nazareth, He went, as was His custom, into the synagogue. And He went into the synagogue because there, we know that there was a lot that were there just for religious reasons and so on, but it was the place where people sought to hear the Word of God. Now we have to believe what God says in His Word. "Believe the light," says the Lord Jesus, "that ye might be the sons of light." And He tells us in His Word that there's none that seeketh after God. And so that if you find souls seeking God, seeking to hear His Word, it's because the God has been working in their hearts. And so, the Lord Jesus Himself said that the Son can do nothing of Himself. That simply means that He could not and did not ever act apart from the Father. The Son can do nothing of Himself. But what He seeth the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. And so the Lord Jesus, as the sower, He sowed everywhere. But He was alert to see where the Father was working. And when He saw the Father working, that which the Father was working, that the Son did likewise. And the result is given to us in John chapter 14, and verse 10, "The Father which dwelleth in me, He doeth the works." You remember the Apostle Paul, John chapter 17, as he went into the synagogue, it was his manner likewise that were seeking souls. Acts chapter 16, realizing the Lord's call to Macedonia, He comes to Philippi, and He abode there, and the others with Him, for several days. It would seem that there wasn't a synagogue there. But He was alert to seeing where the Lord was working, and He heard that there was a group of women going out to meet for prayer by the riverside. There was a woman there that worshipped God as well, Lydia. And He saw, as He saw the Lord working, God working in hearts, He went out to where the Lord, He followed to where the Lord was working. We know the work in Philippi opened up there in a marvelous way. So, we just leave these thoughts with you then. One of the great secrets of the Lord working with us is our learning to work with God. Now, we want to speak a little now to you concerning what the Lord has done in Costa Rica. Now, Some of you may not be familiar with where Costa Rica is, because it's often confused with Puerto Rico. In fact, we often get letters to Costa Rica, but anyway, it's Costa Rica. And for those who are not familiar with Costa Rica, a Spanish-speaking country, it's where the getting down to where the North America and South America join. You know that there's the Panama Canal, and then the country of Panama, and the next one northward is the country of Costa Rica. A democratic country, a country where we enjoy peace and liberty. It's there's about 3 million people in Costa Rica, not a largely populated country, but most of them live on the Central Plateau, and the concentration of population on the Central Plateau is about 400 per square mile. Now, it's the second most Catholic country in the entire Western Hemisphere, next only to Colombia. And so, in many sense, Costa Rica is a weary land, very, very difficult to get people into hear the gospel. And that's one reason why I like to tell a little of the work in Costa Rica, because we know that many times up here in the northern parts, it's difficult for people to get people come in. There's the indifference because of the world. There it's resistance on account of the strength of Catholicism in that land. They're afraid to come in. And so there's much opposition, especially from parents, from other ones, even older members of the family, married and so on, to attending the meetings. But we've had to, where the people wouldn't come in to the meetings, we've had to go out to the people. And there's also a strong movement of competition with the evangelical world, in that the Roman Catholics in Costa Rica now say that they preach the gospel. And, of course, it's another gospel in which you have Jesus as the door, but Mary is the way to the door. The Lord Jesus is the Redeemer, and she's the co-redeemer, and so on. And so a lot of the Catholics now have got Bibles in their hand, and that's a good thing. The Lord's word will not return unto him void. But, they tell them, well, there's no use going to any gospel meetings anywhere, because you might as well stay in your own church, because we have gospel meetings here. And so this is a little bit of what Costa Rica is. We've been there now for 23 years in Costa Rica. We were the first and only assembly missionaries for a while, and then we were joined later by the Presleys and the Booths. And we thank God that he has encouraged us over the years, and there are 5 assemblies in Costa Rica. It doesn't seem very much to 23 years, but considering the difficulties, we're very encouraged in the Lord that there are even five. And the 4 of them are relatively small assemblies, an average of about 11 people in each of the other 4 assemblies, and then our own home assembly on the Central Plateau in Ciudad Colón, with about 45 in the assembly at this time. Well, now then, to tell you, I'm not going to go over a lot of the work in Costa Rica, because I'm from these parts, and so the work has been followed over the years, but I'm just going to mention a little of the work of the Lord there since our last visit here to these parts. Now, when we turned from our last visit, we took up work in the little town of San Ramon, or just outside the town where the smallest assembly is at this time. And as is usual, very few of the Costa Ricans came out. But there was a nice number of Nicaraguan refugees came in, and the Lord blessed his word. One of the teenage, of the Christian's children professed, he was a Costa Rican, and the others were all Nicaraguans, 9 Nicaraguan women. Now, most of them didn't have their papers in order. They were living with men who had no interest in the gospel and so on. So of those nine, there was only three eventually ended up in the assembly in San Ramon. But there was a couple there, and I just mentioned this incident, which was of interest, that there was a couple there, Mauricio and Marta, that means Morris and Martha, and they were coming along. They have a little family, and they were coming along to the gospel meetings. But when the gospel meetings came to a close, they no longer attended the meetings. But they did permit their little daughter, Angie, to come along to the Sunday school. And Angie, in due time, professed to accept the Lord Jesus as her Savior, had a bright little testimony. But God still had his eye on Mauricio and Marta. And one night I received a phone call from the teacher, her teacher in the Sunday school class, and they wanted me to come over and take Angie's funeral. Angie had gone out with the family and with their grandmother to the river, and in a moment of distraction by the grandmother, Angie was swept away by the river and drowned. So we went over to take the funeral. It wasn't in the hall, which was about 2 kilometers away, and I'm glad it wasn't. We had the funeral service right in the living room of their small house, and there was about 50 of the relatives and friends that gathered in, and we were able to preach the gospel there, and the 50 of them all followed us as we made our way walking to the cemetery and heard the gospel again. And I said something in the closing of the service at the cemetery that was a little hard to say. But I said, you know, a lot of you, nearly all of you, have known and loved little Angie. But Angie has professed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, and we know she's in heaven with the Lord. But I said, if any of you that love her so much want to see her again in glory, you've got to get saved. And we do thank God that Mauricio and Marta, instead of being embittered, their hearts were softened and touched, and they took it as a voice from God, and they returned to the meetings, and in the next month and a half, both of them professed to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We go for, I have a lot of cottage meetings in Costa Rica. As I say, very few will ever come out to a series of meetings, and or into the hall at all. So we have to take the gospel to them. And some of the brethren and sisters in the meeting were concerned about the salvation of their aging parents. We started gospel meetings in Coronado, east of the capital. We started meetings in Desamparados in the south of the capital, cottage meetings. And three of our dear brethren and sisters' parents accepted the Lord Jesus there as their Savior, as far as we know. And we preached the gospel at one of the parents' funeral. Then we had the beginnings of an earthquake cycle in Costa Rica. Costa Rica is, of course, a land of earth tremors. We have the meeting of the Caribbean Plate and the Cocos Plate just off the coast in the Pacific waters. And they're always rubbing together, and so we get a lot of earthquake tremors. But about every 11 or 12 or so years, there's an earthquake cycle when you get a whole bunch of heavy, heavy earthquakes. In Tilaran, there was an earthquake, 6.8 on the Richter scale. And then we had a series of heavy earthquakes just with its epicenter just 4 miles from where we lived, near the city of Puriscal. Our house was partly damaged. We rented it, fortunately. And one of the brethren's house was so damaged that they could hardly read it, hardly live there at all. Even though it was a concrete block house, it wasn't built strong enough. And the Lord, as he used the earthquake in Acts chapter 16 to speak to the Philippian jailer, used the earthquake especially to speak to a lot of the Christians' children who had been perhaps a little who've taken the gospel as a tale that is told, but these terrible quakes put a little of the fear of death into them. And we're thankful that six of the teenagers of the, actually there were seven, professed to be saved. I mentioned the six that professed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior in that time. And six of these have gone on well. They're baptized and they're all in the assembly today, and they're a great encouragement to us. Now we started cottage meetings in the Sally Trow, and three professed at that time. One of them was Arturo, and Arturo, when he got saved, he was traveling on the bus. And so when he got saved, the first thing he did is turn around and come right to where we were. He works in farm labor in the onion fields. And he came up to where it came to the house where we were in Ciudad Colón, and he threw his arms around me and almost crushed me to death. And anyway, he told me how he got saved. So it was worthwhile anyway. Now, there's quite a number of the young men, as we've mentioned, young people, and ones that were saved before that have been added to the assembly. And we're very thankful for a number of young brethren who are actively taking part in the gospel and in a capable way well. And we especially appreciate that now that we're absent from Costa Rica and there are no other full-time laborers in Costa Rica at this present time. But the second generation growing up, of course, presents its problems. I wouldn't say there's any more than maybe 24 or 30 young people in the whole assembly context down in Costa Rica. So we really need to be concerned and to pray and to work relative to these young people. They're growing up and they need marriage partners in life. We don't want them entering into the unequal yoke. And three of the sisters have already left the assembly in various times for that simple reason of finding a marriage partner. We don't agree with that. We sympathize with the idea, but of course we're not happy to see them go. But we really do need to pray for the prosperity of the work amongst the young people there, that they might have in due time the suitable marriage partners, especially in the assembly context. Well, now then, as I was mentioning, the earthquakes were very severe in that time of the cycle, and one of our brethren's houses was left uninhabitable completely. And so we had a work bee, and this drew all the brethren together and sisters together, and that was real good. And we gathered together. It was, as I say, a concrete block house, not very well constructed. But anyway, the brethren all got together, and we had a lot of fun destroying our brother's house. And it was a lot of hard work, too. But I say we had that because we knew it was going to be followed by a lot of joy in seeing the house build up. He has one of their little, he and the family, a large family, has a nice concrete, well-built house for earthquake construction now. And as I say, it drew the saints together. So that was the Lord turned it to blessing there too for them. And none of them were injured or lost their lives. None of the Christians in all that earthquake time, which is about 2.5 years. Now, our daughter, who used to live up here, Jeanette, she returned to Costa Rica and was in tourism. And in Utah, over the course of months, she finally ended up in Jaco Beach, which is on the Pacific coast. And she was working there in tourism. And there was no Christians down there as far as we knew. And she began to testify to those that were round about. And one of the young men that she testified, his name was Johnny Marin, and he became very interested. Johnny Marin had had a difficult life. His father was killed when he was just a teenager. And he had to quit school and had to get to work, and he was the sustainer of his mother and all the children and some of the grandchildren as well, and some of his sisters. And so it was a really, it taught him a lot of responsibility. And he was interested in the gospel, listened to it. We had conversed with him a couple of times, but it was mainly through Jeanette that Johnny was reached and saved. And I might mention that in due time he was baptized, and he's now our son-in-law. So Johnny and Jeanette were married. But Johnny was concerned about us. He wanted Jeanette to meet some friends that had been very close to him since his father's death. It helped him a lot. So when they were up on the plateau, he took them to meet this couple. And it resulted, it was a couple that had actually attended the meetings in the Gospel Hall a number of times, not with very much interest, but now this sparked the interest anew. And so we went there and we had our first cottage meetings in their home in a place called Rio Oro. And we're thankful that the Lord came in again, and the mother and the daughter-in-law professed to be saved at that time. Johnny and Jeanette moved north. And Johnny taking a course in hotel administration and our daughter working in tourism. And they were there attending the West Richmond Assembly. It was at that time that Johnny was received into fellowship in West Richmond. And later on, they returned to Costa Rica, and they're in the Assembly, of course, today. But Johnny was exercised concerning his mother. This is one of the good signs that you look for when people get saved, that they're concerned about the salvation of loved ones that are near and dear to them. So while Johnny was up here, he contacted his mother, and he opened the door for us to go and have cottage meetings in his mother's home. So we had cottage meetings, a long time of cottage meetings. Generally speaking, it ends up about every 15 days that we have the cottage meetings and return. And we're very happy to say that his mother and two sisters professed to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And in due time, the mother and the sister have obeyed the Lord in baptism. Now, we've mentioned our concern concerning the reaching of young people. The early work in Costa Rica, we're very thankful to say that the Lord worked firstly. And I think the Lord was undoubtedly wise in infinite wisdom in what he did in that way. And he gave us in the early stages of the week a good number of couples. And this was the stability of the work. But latterly we've been feeling the need for the work amongst more of the young people, which are difficult to reach because they have such moral or immoral liberties or license down in Costa Rica, very hard to reach in that respect as they resent the claims of the Word of God as infringing upon their liberties. But anyway, we started this outreach in our home for those that will not come, of course, to the Gospel Hall at all, and we can't contact them that way. So, along with another brother and sister that were exercised about the young people, and their own two boys already professing to be saved. And so we have the young people's outreach about every 15 days in our home. And get about 25 or 30 young people in from the district that wouldn't come to the hall at all. Now we're thankful that the Lord has blessed that. And remember a girl by the name of, even forgot her name. Anyway, Amalia. Amalia was the first one to profess to be saved, and her mother immediately, being a Seventh-day Adventist, took her out of the contact with the meetings that we were having. But her brother continued on because he was older, and being a man, of course, the mother didn't have quite so much to say in what he was doing. Another young man professed to be saved. He only heard the gospel once. He was related to the local priest. And he came along to the young people's outreach that we had in the home, and he was brought under conviction. And so even though he was related to the priest, he snuck to the gospel meeting in the hall in a couple of days later. And he realized he needed to be saved, and he wanted to take advantage of the opportunity. And so he came out, heard the gospel, and stayed after meeting, and he professed to accept the Lord Jesus as his Savior, after only hearing the gospel twice. And you know, of course, as you can imagine, with being related to the local priest, he was immediately cut off from the meetings completely. We need to pray for him. Well, then another one that was reached was Jose Luis. And very, very brilliant young man, going in to be a doctor. And Jose Luis was a senior member of the Boy Scouts. And it resulting that they do have times of religion. You're supposed to be religious with the Boy Scouts. And so he was asked to give a discourse on religion. So he came along to get some help with his preparing this discourse in religion. He came along and he said he wondered if I could help him. He wanted to give a discourse on God's way of salvation. Well, you couldn't get a door much farther open than that. So needless to say, we were joyful to be able to help him prepare his discourse on religion. Well, anyway, he went there. Of course, he had to make it up. I just gave him a skeleton, and he made it up. And some of them that heard it, they said you'd think he was saved. He had the gospel so able to spread it out so clearly, but he wasn't saved. But obviously, the Lord was speaking to him, and the result was a little later that he came down with measles. Now, of course, measles as a child is a different thing from measles as a grown-up. And so it was very serious with him. And it spoke to his soul. And he realized that he felt that God was giving him his last call, his last opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus. And so on a sickbed there, he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Now, Jose Luis has been baptized, and he's in the assembly, and we've been in contact with them since, and he's preached for the first time recently in the assembly down in Costa Rica. And my daughter says he just sounded like an old timer. So that was a real encouragement to us. And incidentally, his mother, who had taken the sister away, has now left them, and she's attending the gospel meetings in the hall as well. So we trust that soon we'll see his mother reached and saved. Now, I might mention another young man. I'll be through shortly. Carlos Umana. And our other daughter, Lynette, was working at this time in Costa Rica, and she testified to a young man who worked in a hotel where her work in tourism took her, and he became interested in the gospel. He'd been brought up years ago as a little child in a little conservative Pentecostal gathering down near the Panamanian border, but he hadn't heard the gospel for many, many years. But anyway, he started coming out to gospel meetings, and it was soon evident that he was under the conviction of God. And as I say, it was really, really quite a startling, you know, because he's got many trophies as an amateur boxer. And to see a man like that weeping over his sins, weeping over the thought of meeting God, well, it was quite a thing to us. But anyway, he came along to our home one night. He said he just had to get this settled. We spoke to him concerning the gospel for a while, but he couldn't seem to see it. We left him with John 3 and Romans chapter 10. And we told him to read them over and over, and if he could see what God wanted him to do to be saved, just do it. And so we went away and left him alone and dedicated ourselves to prayer. When we came back in, we found that he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and Carlos has been baptized out in the assembly, but he has been baptized, and he now is our other son-in-law. Anyway, So I might tell you about the work in Hako Beach, and this will be almost the final thing I'll tell you about the work. This is where Johnny and Jeanette make their home. And one of their friends, who is the owner of one of the main restaurants down in Hako Beach, which is a tourist center, were interested in the gospel. And so the way was opened up for us to go and start cottage meetings down in Hako Beach. And this was a fairly long process. They were both Roman Catholics. But Marvin, the husband, he had circulated for quite a long while amongst the so-called JWs. And so as we had the cottage meetings there, there were a lot of errors to correct, a lot of groundwork to set before we could really get into the gospel as we would have liked. One day as we were sitting there in there with Trina, that's the wife, and her husband Marvin, Marvin said, he says, "I really want to thank you for coming along and giving us these Bible studies in the home." He says, "You know, I'm not saved yet, but I've sure changed a lot, and I'm really working at it." So his wife, Trina, she turned to him and she says, "Marvin, it's not a matter of working." He says, "The Lord Jesus has done it all." He says, "It's a matter of resting on the Lord Jesus for salvation." So you better believe that our ears were pricked up. And I was anxious to question Trina and find out what this was all about. And just as we were, I was on the peak of expectation, you know, a knock came to the door. And it was Trina's sister that hadn't been there for 3 years. And she had no interest in the gospel at all. And so all our desires for the present time. But I just prayed that the Lord would open up the way in another occasion soon that we'd be able to get our curiosity satisfied as to Trina. Well, the Lord opened up the way as He only could. A couple of weeks later, when we came back for our next cottage meeting, was during the Easter week. And of course, as you know, the Roman Catholics don't eat meat. They either eat a lot of fish. And so when it came to the Saturday morning when we're supposed to have our cottage meeting with them, by that, there was still the Saturday and the Sunday to go, and the restaurant had run out of fish completely. And so Marvin, with all sorts of apologies, he said, "I hope you'll excuse me, but we've run out of fish, and I've got to make the trip down the coast to the fishing village to get the supplies for Saturday and Sunday." Well, our daughter had offered to take their daughter swimming, and so over came Trina to ask questions. Well, the Lord opened up the way. And so we were talking to her for a while and answering questions, and we found out that 3 weeks previously, she had gone to the swimming pool with her daughter and was sitting there by the side of the swimming pool watching her swim, and she was reading her Bible. Not very many people take their Bible along to the swimming pool to read it, and she was evidently concerned about her salvation. And she was sitting there beside the swimming pool reading her Bible in Romans chapter 10. She said, "I just came to the conclusion that all I could do was just take God at His word and just rest." That was her own words, "just rest on the Lord Jesus as my Savior." And so we thank God for Trina. We continued on with the meetings, and about a month and a half or so later, Marvin, when he was driving me home from their place to where I was staying, and he told us likewise that he finally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He says, "Finally, after all these years, a great peace has come into my heart." And his wife says, "And a great change has come into our home as well." Well, now then, that's a little of the recent work in Costa Rica. And we are again the only assembly missionaries, and full-time workers in Costa Rica, the Booths, who labored there for 16 years. And we're very thankful for anybody that would spend that many years of their life for the work of the Lord there.
But they felt that the Lord was leading them to Russia, and so they have left the work in Costa Rica, and they are now in St. Petersburg, Russia. They were discouraged, I know, over the years. Many a times they said, there's just so much work and time and energy goes into the work in this land, and so little results. So they were discouraged. But I don't want the brethren to think too hard of them for being discouraged, because in evangelical circles, evangelical works like the Baptist and the Alliance Church and so on, it's a known fact that foreign missionaries, when they come into the work in Costa Rica, in all those circles, over 90% of the foreign missionaries get discouraged and go back home. And so, this was just a normal phenomena for this weary land of Costa Rica. A difficult land, but thank God nothing's too hard for the Lord. We believe the Lord is still working, and He's still able. Now, of course, this brings up the fact that we're concerned that the Lord of the harvest would send forth other laborers into this needy harvest field. It's not an encouraging field. It's a weary land. But you know, there's one thing about a difficult field. It helps to teach you to know your God a little better. Because you've got to find God if you're going to see the blessing. And so it teaches you to work with God and then look to the Lord, that the Lord would work and confirm the word with evident blessing. So remember the boost in Russia. Remember the work of Costa Rica. And remember little assemblies. And do pray with us. The Lord will lead forth those into Costa Rica as well, especially those who have an exercise to work amongst the young, which is our great need at the present time. We pray then that God will richly bless. And we do thank you for this opportunity. Should I close in prayer with you? Yes. Our Father, we do thank Thee for the workings of God in Costa Rica, here on the West Coast, throughout the length and breadth of Canada and the U.S., Mexico, Chile, Venezuela, Japan, and the islands of the Caribbean. We think of the many different fields that may be represented in loved ones here. We pray Thy blessing upon Thy work worldwide, especially upon our beloved brethren and sisters who are laboring in other lands that are known to us. We pray Thy preservation upon the work in Costa Rica. Pray that Thou wouldst lead out laborers to the needy mission field of Canada and the United States as well. Pray Thee for the Greens in their difficult and discouraging, in the difficult and discouraging land of France as well. Thou wouldst encourage them. Now, Father, we just cast ourselves upon Thee and ask Thee to receive of our thanks for the refreshment given. Bless it to us and refresh us in the interval. Bring us back with an increasing thirst to hear the voice of God and to respond thereto. Speak, Lord, for Thy servants here. We'd ask Thee, Lord, to also remember those that have so graciously prepared for these our temporal needs. Thou hast recompensed them richly. We know that Thou art no man's debtor. Many of them haven't been able perhaps to enjoy the conference in its fullness as they would have liked. We'd ask Thee to recompense it to them. We wait upon Thee then and return Thee our thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus.